Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, September the 26th. And welcome to our commentary. I think we're going to have some low temperatures this week. We may get a little cold front this week. So that would be very nice. That would be a wonderful way to say goodbye to the month of September, because this is our last Monday in September. So we'll see. I think it's like 74 right now. And that's great. That's great. Let's keep it like that for about a few weeks. Because summer always comes back in Texas for one more time. I mean, it never quite goes away. It always comes back one more time. So I still expect maybe a hot streak sometime in the next 2 weeks or so. But right now, let's keep it like it is in the 70s. That's absolutely wonderful. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about a post that I have over at the American Thinker. I want to talk about Italy, but I want to begin with just a quick reference to Liz Cheney. I'm sure all of you know who I'm talking about, Liz Cheney. Look, Liz Cheney, as I've mentioned before, I don't want to spend a lot of time on her, but she made a strategic mistake. She went too far in her criticism of Donald Trump. You can disagree with Trump. You don't even have to like Trump. And I understand that Trump's personality is abrasive for some people. So I get that. I understand that. If you don't like his style, you don't like the way he talks, you don't like the way he walks, fine. That's okay. That's okay. But that's not the reason that she lost by 40 points in Wyoming. The reason she lost by 40 points is because she went crazy with his January 6th committee. And a lot of us were in favor of an investigation of January 6th, but not the farce that happened. And I guess will happen again. They have one more session coming up next week. And what I mean by a farce is an investigation where the accused, in this case, Donald Trump, is not represented. There's no cross-examination of the witnesses like we've grown accustomed to with these committees. So the January 6th committee was just a get Trump committee. And frankly, for a lot of people find that off the charts. So she lost by 40 points in Wyoming because nobody in Wyoming is talking about January the 6th. What they're talking about is the cost of energy, inflation, and so on. So Liz Cheney is now threatening to support Democrats and even leave the party. Look, if that's what she wants to do, go right ahead. But maybe what she needs to do is maybe just go away for a few months and rethink her strategy, because hating Trump is not enough. You got to give me some more reasons. And unfortunately, Dick Cheney, like many other people, just got obsessed with Trump and started doing a lot of stupid things or saying a lot of stupid things because they hate Trump. And you need more than "I hate Trump" if you want people to take you seriously. Let's talk a little bit about my post over at the American Thinker. I wrote a post today emphasizing why the economy continues to be the big issue at the moment in the United States. And it's all based on a brand new survey that came out from Washington Post ABC. And this is a devastating poll for Democrats. And by the way, Washington Post ABC has historically been favored the Democrats. I mean, this is an organization that had Joe Biden winning Wisconsin by 10 points the last time around. Well, he ended up winning by less than one. And it was a pretty close race, to say the least. But this particular time, in this survey that just came out over the weekend, the Washington Post is looking at the issues that people are concerned about. And let me just read some of them to you in this order. Number one, the economy. Number two, inflation. Well, that's the same thing. The economy and inflation is basically the same thing. I mean, people out there are going nuts with the economy and inflation. I mean, I was listening to an interview with a farmer in Pennsylvania who says, you know, I cannot pay the energy cost. You know, every machine that I run is now more expensive to run because of energy. So people out there are getting killed. You know, the housewife who goes shopping, and she's getting killed by these high prices. So Yeah, economy and inflation, number one and number two. That's a big number one and number two. Number three, education. And this is something that I believe very strongly is going to be a major political current in the upcoming election. By education is what we're really talking about here is parents concerned about the education of their kids and what is being taught in public schools. And some of the things happening in public schools about gender ideology and sexuality and stuff like that, that frankly doesn't belong in grade school. I'm not even sure it belongs in high school, but at least they're a little bit older by then. But it certainly doesn't belong with kids who are 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. They don't need to be hearing any of that. And if they're going to hear it, it should come from their parents, not their teachers. So many, many parents are concerned about the state of public education, and they're going to show up. That is a group that is going to show up. You may remember a couple of months ago, we had an interview with a lady, Moms for Liberty, and those ladies are very well organized, and they're going to be a big political current in this election. What motivates these ladies is education or their children. That's what motivates them. The next one is crime. Now, this is a particularly tough issue for the Democrats because the crime problem, the crime wave in this country is really serious in cities run by the Democrats. Chicago, New York City, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Detroit, Kansas City, Minneapolis, Seattle, Portland, LA, San Francisco, Kansas City, St. Louis. I mean, the crime wave in many of these cities is just horrific. And if you look at the victims of this crime wave, it's generally the African Americans who live there. So there's a lot of concern among Democrats that African Americans are going to vote against them this year because of the fact that their cities, the cities they live in, have become such a just a horrible situation with crime. The crime in some of these cities is just horrific, the things that you're seeing. You see a bunch of young people breaking into a store and nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them. They have them on video. And yet, for whatever reason, nothing happens to them. You know, they, or if anything happens to them, they're back in the street the next day. And this is a real problem. The other thing, too, is that crime in these cities is driving out a lot of businesses. And when a business moves from a city, let's say, to a suburb, they're now paying taxes in a different jurisdiction. And that's starting to hurt a lot of these cities with crime. The other issue, number four, is abortion. Now, abortion is an issue that I've always felt cuts both ways. In other words, yes, it is true that many women were animated to show up and vote because of abortion, but it works the other way. Many women are also animated on the other side. So I've always felt that abortion is an issue that cuts both ways. And at the end of the day, what you lose here, you gain here, but it's not an issue by itself that will change a campaign. And then, of course, after that comes immigration and climate change. Climate change is a very popular topic with people in the left. They love climate change. The problem with climate change is that it's very difficult, very, very difficult to sell climate change to voters because you're going to have to tell them that their electricity rates are going up or that their gasoline rates are going to go up. And this winter, there's going to be a lot of people in the Northeast who are going to get hit with some huge energy bills because of all of this. So the voters are saying, yes, you know, I'll listen to your climate change talk, but what are you going to do for me? And the truth is they cannot do anything for them because the public is not ready to pay these high rates. And we're not really ready to offer them an alternative to fossil fuels. So we're just, frankly, making life miserable for the middle class, and particularly the lower middle class. I mean, with your energy rates go up 20%, that hurts a lot of people, but it hurts the lower middle class more than anybody else. So all of this information that we're getting out of this poll is not good news for the Democrats. Not good news for the Democrats because the topics that they want to talk about, abortion and January the 6th, that's not enough to get them through the election. But the topics that they don't want to talk about, the economy, inflation, education, crime, those are the topics driving a lot of the voters this year. So that's why, you know, we continue to believe that the first Tuesday of November is not going to be a happy day for the Democrats. Let's talk about what's happening in Italy. If you've been following the news, you've heard that Italy will have or will soon have a new prime minister. I'm not sure if the new prime minister has been named yet. They have a parliamentary type system, so I think some of these coalitions have to come together. But more than likely, the new prime minister of Italy, almost 100% chance from what I understand, is going to be a lady named Giorgia Meloni. Giorgia Meloni. Meloni, that sounds like the name of a third baseman that I used to remember watching baseball. But this lady comes from the right, and she is part of a group called Brothers of Italy or something like that. And she's from the right. But I think a lot of people in the Western media misunderstand why she was elected. The reason she was elected is because it's not because she's Mussolini. It's not that she wants to bring back Mussolini or something like that, or that she wants to become a right-wing dictator. That's not, I think, why she won. She won because there is a problem in Italy and many of these other European countries. We just saw in Sweden, where a coalition of right-wing parties also won. What we're really seeing is a rebellion against the administrative state or the bureaucracy, and in this case, the European Union. And I think a lot of Italians are saying, wait a minute, it's our country. We should do what we want to do. We shouldn't be dictated by the European Union. The other thing that is a very strong point in this lady's agenda is that she's pro-life, she's pro-family, she rejects all of this LGBT agenda, and she's simply saying that illegal immigration has to be controlled, that you simply cannot have people coming into your country without some kind of control. So yes, a lot of people in the Western media are going to turn this lady into like Mussolini, but she's not. She's actually, if you listen to her, and I've had a chance to watch a couple of her videos here in the last couple of days, she sounds like a very reasonable lady from the right who loves her country and wants to protect their identity and wants to protect their culture. She wants to protect Italian culture. And that's what I think is behind all of this. Although, as I said, she's going to be getting a lot of criticism that she's a Mussolini and this is right-wing stuff. I don't buy any of that. I think that her reasoning is a lot different than what we're hearing about. But she's clearly, surely a very interesting lady. And you may see more people like her in Europe, as I say, in Sweden. And I think you'll see it in other countries as well. And this winter, with the price of energy going up in many of these countries, it's going to be fascinating to see how the country reacts to the European Union and a lot of these socialist policies that have probably had literally put their countries down for the last 15 or 20 years. Well, on this day in history, one of the most interesting baseball stories, Nolan Ryan pitched his fifth no-hitter. Now, it was dramatic, of course, because that was the first time that anybody had gone five no-hitters. Sandy Koufax had four, and Nolan Ryan now had five. The amazing thing about Nolan Ryan, though, is that he got number six and number seven 10 years later. So Nolan Ryan was just an amazing, amazing physical specimen who could pitch for as long as he did. And that's why it's so difficult to break his records, particularly his total strikeouts and seven no-hitters. I mean, it's going to take somebody who pitches for a long time to be able to do that. I had the opportunity to watch number five on TV, especially the last three innings, and it was exciting, to say the least. Nolan Ryan, number five, on this day in 1981. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.